Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and good morning. Praise the Lord, fellow saints, brothers and sisters that are spread abroad. As always, it is such an honor and privilege and great fellowship. Honor and privilege indeed to be in fellowship with you all in this, on this Sabbath, corresponding with April the 8th of 2016. As always, I say grace and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Yeshua the Messiah. It's such an honor and a privilege once again. And we need one another. You know, the assembling of the saints in spirit and mind, we may not be able to be together in person, but we can at least be in this oneness of spirit in their mind concerning this mind of Yeshua that is expressed in the scriptures. The Holy Scriptures, his word. This is his mind. This is his heart. And if we agree on it, then we can be in one spirit and one mind, having this mind of the Messiah. So with that being said, I say that, brothers and sisters, it is a time to be encouraged, to be edified, to be enlightened, and to be empowered, especially all of this in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the destruction, in the midst of the tearing down, you know, that is happening, in the midst of the wickedness and the evil, the chaos in this world. You know, our God, the Most High God, Yah, has foretold us other things to happen, so we ought not to be surprised. He has forewarned us of what was to come and how it was to come and who it was to come by. So once again, we ought not to be surprised. This is why it behooves us to be prepared and meeting our Lord and Savior, the Son of Yah, in peace, that he can identify us and not be amongst those that he said, I never knew you. We need to have that relationship with him, that he knows us and we know him, you know, and not know of him, but know him. And the only way he's going to know us is that we know him. He's not going to know us, at least as one of his, if we only know of him. But we know nothing of his word. We're taken by surprise with the things that are going on in this world. We're ignorant of it. We're stupid of it. We're silly of it. You know, all of those things. That's not behavior and character that Yah has for his people, and it was never purpose for his people to be in this way. You know, but when we come into understanding, then it is evident that we have a relationship with Yah and that he has a relationship with us. The understanding. A lot of people get knowledge. They seek after knowledge. They have the knowledge, but very few have understanding of that knowledge, which empowers us. You know, they say knowledge is power, and it's power to some degree if you use it properly, and if you understand it and how to use it, then it can be the optimum power, if you will. But I want to talk today, perspective of do evil that good may come. You know, this is the doctrine of the evil empire. Let's call it an evil empire. With that being said, it is an American domestic foreign policy doctrine. You know, to do evil that good may come. In a deranged mind of a government that continues to do evil across the world and crying out for peace and good to come out of it when they are causing havoc and chaos and they have no ideal and they continue to do these things, you know. And I want us to talk about it. I want us to get an understanding from Yah's perspective. So I say, and take this in consideration. That's why, you know, get out them TVs and get out the foolishness and even get out, you know, even what can I say? Just the entertainment. Definitely get out of that stuff. You know, take a break from that. Know what's going on in your world, so you don't be ignorant of what's going on in your world, so that you can have understanding of what's going on. And when you see these things unfolding and you have the understanding, you can be at peace and you can be enjoying. I'm talking about a true peace and a true joy, because you got some people that are happy, they enjoy, and they're in peace, but it still is going to do them no good when the judgment of Yah happens. Because they have gotten stuck in their religious ideals or religious ways, or they're comfortable in certain knowledge of the truth or whatever have you. So it's a complicated matter, but I want to say for those of us that have a love of the truth and have a love of letting Yah rule in our life, being Lord and dictator of our life, that we submit and say yay and amen. Don't try to make no excuses. If we're in error, we confess, we admit, we repent, and keep it moving. I'm talking to that group of people. I'm in that group of people because by no means am I perfect. But I am grateful to Yah that I'll come to my senses through His grace to acknowledge my error, and I'll be willing to humble myself and to repent if necessary, to apologize if necessary, to amend my ways, even to be reconciled if necessary for the sake of the Messiah. For the appearance of the Messiah that I display before the world. And if I'm in sin and if I'm in error, I let the world know that it is my sin, it is my error, but it is not a reflection of Yeshua the Messiah. It is not a reflection of Yah. And I don't want to justify myself when it opposes Yah's word. This is the difference between the wheat and the tares. So with that being said, I tell you this, you know, strange and understanding. Pay attention, going back 2 weeks ago, a couple weeks ago, somewhere around there. But strangely enough, not long after the American soldiers unlawfully entered Syria, there's a most recent gas attack on the Syrian people. They're victimized. So then the European, American, Western media begins to show images of the victims, and especially the women and the children. And I just want us to understand and go back to 2001. You can go back all through the history of this nation, but I'm saying kind of more recent history with respect to Iraq, and it was a fetish about them having chemical weapons. It was an obsession about them having chemical weapons and a need for George Bush to invade that nation and start what we have now, and that will not end for generations to come. Quite honestly, I believe the Messiah, Yeshua the Messiah, have to come and make right the wrong of these people, make good and godly the evil and the godlessness of these people, you know. But it's the same, it's the M.O. of the devil and his children. And these devils, they run America, or that run America, never changed. The M.O. never changed. You know, these folks, they're warmongering, or warmongers, you know. They're murderers. And lying devils, the lying servants of Satan, children of the devil. That's why I call them devils, because they fit the description of the devil. Is it the description? He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's a murderer. He's a liar. And that's what those in power do. Because we're not fighting against only flesh and blood. We're fighting against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what we're fighting against, out of the spiritual realm. And they're using personalities and people in the natural realm to do the work of Satan. Charismatic, educated, to some degree, because I would say intelligent, but they're the most stupidest people in the world. When you really begin to understand the place that they set themselves up in against Yah. So there's not much intellect in that. They may be educated in the system of the world to some degree, and I'm giving them a benefit of a doubt because I even see that the stupid decision-making and not really understanding the realness, the real world for that matter. But that's the MO, to stage events and incidents so that they can respond how they wanted to at heart. And these devils, they don't give a care, or I can even say they don't give a damn in the sense of it just is what it is. I don't even want to explain it, but they don't give a damn or a care and concern about humanity. They only use the word humanity as a pretense or a pretext to go into onslaught. So what they are doing is causing chaos around the world, and they've been doing and around the world, and what they've been doing here in America to their own citizens, namely Black Americans. And they do it without care, without shame, without regret, or any teardrop to be shed for the injustices and the violence and the murder and the trickery and the deception and all the evil that they do against Black people and, quite honestly, against all the other people in the world. They have a pretext of humanity, doing humanitarian work. But the underline and the fine print is what's most toxic and destroying. So it's sad to see people of color being slaughtered all over this planet in this wicked Caucasian Christian man perverted and psychotic ideal of peace. Evil that good may come. And I want to refer to some scriptures with regard to this because that's the foundation. This is why we have Sabbath scripture studies. You know, Isaiah makes it very clear. In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, Yah has already spoken such that he don't need to say it anymore. We just need to read it more often. But Yah is not saying anything different than what he has said, because what he has said is perfect. From every dot of the I, crossing of the T, to every punctuation, to every letter of every word, every punctuation, it is perfect. He's not speaking anything other than what he has already spoken. Why are people reinterpreting or rewriting scripture, rewriting doctrine, rewriting their standards and different things that are contrary to Yah's word is beyond me? But he said it was to happen. But it is not in their best interest. But Yah has already told us. Even in Isaiah chapter 5:20, he made it very clear. He says, woe, imminent danger. Woe. When you're saying woe, that brings about, that wakes you up. He's trying to get your attention. He said, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Then he said, that put darkness for light and light for darkness. You're doing this wickedness. You're doing these things in secret. And then you're exposing them to the light. And then the things that are exposed to the light that would vindicate some, that would be open and give a person a fair chance, then you cover that truth and you cover that light and you instead present your darkness and your lies and your falsehood. They got people in America, and they got people abroad that got evidence to vindicate, to show that they weren't guilty of a crime as accused or as charged or convicted. And the government ignored that light, ignores that truth, and instead replace it with the lies that they fabricate and planting of evidence and staging scenes and scenarios. Even in 9/11/2001, there's so much evidence to show that the United States government was complicit in 9/11. But the government, under the powers given to it to hold things and what they not confidentiality, but there's another term that they use in order to cover their wickedness and evil, so that it don't get exposed. And you have to excuse me early morning, as my mind is and I'm an early bird, but I don't know why I'm not thinking of this word, and it tends to happen to me like this on the spot. But there's a term that, and it's sort of like confidentiality, but there's a term that the government love to use when it is covering its evil and wickedness. So they do it under the scope and the authority vested in it by holding evidence and information under this certain term that is confidential. It'll come to me once I relax my mind, and then I'll come back to it. But under that pretense that they do these things and they cover their wickedness and their evil. And then it says that that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. You know, things that are agonizing to people, you know, the violence, the wrongful convictions and injustices, you know, that's bitter to people, the hurt that people suffer at the hands of this American European government that is just doing all this evil in the world. People are hurt. You know, it's a bitter taste in their mouth. But for the oppressors and for those that are committing these acts and the atrocities against humanity, it is sweet for them. They're saying that justice is being served. They're thinking themselves to be doing a good and a great deed, and it is sweet to them when they see their wickedness and their evil being executed, and it causing people hurt and damage and just a hardship. In their mind, they think that they're doing good, and that is sweet to them, and they commend themselves, like Donald Trump is being complimented for Syria. But as I said, it's not strange that just as America has been in that country, that she was staging the scenario to go and justify bombing that country. That's all it amounts to. And make no mistake about it, keep in mind, for those that love Barack Obama and hate Donald Trump or vice versa, but you got to keep in mind, from the same spirit, Obama started Syria. Obama started, he continued what George Bush was what George Bush was doing in Iraq. And the word that I was thinking about is classified. So it's confidential, but the government like to classify stuff, and so have it classified so it's not open to the public. And they exercise that authority. It is a misuse of power and authority when they want to cover their evil, when they want to cover their cover the light, and so that they can replace it with the darkness, that they classify the light, put it in a dark place, and then they reverse it and begin to tell their narrative and all in a way that they expose to have their darkness seen. But Barack Obama started that. Started in Libya, took down the government of Libya, just continuing in this evil and hopes that good may come, from George Bush to Barack Obama, now to Donald Trump. And so this, you know, make no mistake about it, but it's just sad, as I say, to see the people, the collateral damage, if you will, as they say. They call it collateral damage. But see these souls that are being destroyed and lost. And yet people let our government and the officials tell the same lies, stage the same incidents, and plant evidence to fool the American people and the world for that matter. These Caucasian Christian men operating as one is just like the devil and just like what the Holy Scriptures say the Antichrist will be like when he says peace, peace, then sudden destruction comes. He is just like this. You know, going back, we read in Isaiah chapter 5, but I want to go to Romans because my subject comes out of Romans and what was accused of slanderously accused of the Apostle Paul and those that were with him. And he was falsely accused, but we can justly accuse this system in the world now, these servants of Satan that call themselves Christians as to be followers of Yeshua the Messiah, the Jesus Christ. See, but Paul and them, they lied on him. And it says, and Paul went and says, Romans chapter 3, verse 8, and not rather, and that not rather, and he said, and so, and why not say as be slanderously reported, as some affirm that we say, they're lying on Paul, and they're about to put words in the apostle's mouth that he didn't say with respect to let us do evil that good may come. So they were saying, because Paul was speaking about the grace of God, uphold in the difference between the grace and the law, they were saying that Paul was saying do good, do evil that good may come, meaning sin, so that you can be blessed in your sin. Now, that's the doctrine. That's Christian doctrine. This is Christian behavior. They've taken this scripture. They tried to accuse it on Paul, but Paul did not wear that title, that jacket. Paul renounced that. And he even said, whose damnation is just. Your condemnation is just. So if you tell him that lie on the apostles, on the children of Yah, to do evil that good may come, and the apostle said whose condemnation or damnation is just, what do you think about it when you are one who does evil that good may come? The condemnation, the damnation is going to be even more severe, but the judgment is still there. And so this is what we're dealing with, a nation that prides itself on its Christianity. But they have taken the name of Yeshua, the Messiah, in vain. And they think that everything that they do, sinful, evil, wicked, for what strange reason and the deception of their mind, they think that everything they do is righteous, is right, is godly, is good. And they don't see their evil for what it is. So they continue to out this wickedness as though there's no God that is going to judge them, because they sit in the seat of God holding themselves to be God. Let's go to First Thessalonians. And it's not only does this sadden me, but it angers me. And the reason it angers me, I'm not angered by the wicked and their wickedness, but I'm more so angered about the children of Yah that should be more conscious and don't know. So I'm angered by the people that they're deceiving and the people that are saying that they are of Yeshua the Messiah. I'm going to read, see, this is the position that this beast sets itself in. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, I'll read this. So Paul is saying, now we beseech you, brethren, that beseech is to ask you or to urge you. I urge you by the coming of the Lord, Yeshua the Messiah. The Bible is reading Jesus Christ, I use His Hebrew name, Yeshua the Messiah. and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not so soon, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of the Messiah is at hand, or that meaning had come. So apparently it was put out there that the Messiah had come already. And Paul and them, they didn't teach that. That was from an imposter. That was from someone else. So he says, it prompts him or inspires him to write this for the church then and for us in this day and time afterwards. He says, let no man deceive you by any means. That don't just mean during that time. That means for all of us in the body of the Messiah. Let no man deceive you. He says, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Listen to them. The falling away. What are you falling away? You're falling away from Yeshua the Messiah. You're falling away from the body of Yeshua. You're falling away from the doctrine. You're falling away from the gospel. You are falling away from the laws. You are falling away from the word of Yah. You are falling away from the standard. You are falling away from the statutes. You are falling away from the commandments. You are falling away from the precepts. All of them work together for good unto Yah to bring about in us the character of the Messiah, to bring about us a godly character. Even the law was not designed to make us do evil. It was to expose our evil so that we can correct our evil, so that we can change out our wicked ways and come into the likeness and the character of Yah that he has purposed when he first created man until the fall of Adam happened. So that's the falling away, all of these things, and it is upon us. And then in this falling away, when you see the falling away, then you begin to understand, then you begin to see the man of sin. Why? How do we begin to see the man of sin? Because the man of sin is what gives you the license, is what gives you the authority, is what gives you the right to absolve your conscience to do those things that Yah opposed. So it is your constitutional right to be a homosexual. It is your constitutional right to have an affair on your wife or your husband, or to cheat, to be nude, to get in child pornography or any type of pornography, sexual sins, to get into drunkenness and drugs and all of that. It's your constitution. It is your constitutional right to be able to divorce for whatever reason, for irreconcilable or irreconcilable differences. It is your constitutional right to still divorce for irreconcilable differences and then to remarry and do it without even shame or conscience of or conviction. That's the man of sin. He permits you to do that when you accept him as your God, because listen what the scriptures say respective of him. Because this man, he opposed and exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sit in the temple of God, showing himself to be, showing himself that he is God. He sit in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So the temple, the body, he sits in the body of Christ, as the Christian was called Christ, but in the body of the Messiah. He sits in the body under the religion of Christianity, and then he dictates traditions and commandments and laws and these type of things that the people must follow under the Christianity doctrine. So there's no other people on the planet that is doing this, that had the fruit to back this up, than the European, Western, American, Caucasian, Christian people. That man represent a people. So it's important for us to grasp this, and why I have to go into this. So, you know, they let people tell them these lies, and then they stage these incidents, and they plant evidence. They like I said, black people, for what you're seeing in the world, black people have our world. Welcome to what we've been dealing with since we came on these shores, or since we were forcefully brought on these shores. Welcome to what we've been dealing with for over 400 years. Middle East, welcome to what we've been dealing with. Africa already knows about it. Now you're knowing about it. And this is this man's M.O. See, it's not Russians and Chinese going into those nations, messing with those people, interfering with them. It is Europe and America, the same people in different regions of the world. They got the same spirit of their father, the devil. And then they set up in the body of the Messiah temple, which is the temple, if you will. And in this, they showing themselves to be God and dictating behaviors and conducts and what is acceptable and what is the norm and what is standards and different things like that. And so, you know, as they operating as one, just like the devil and just like the Holy Spirit says, the Holy Scriptures say, the Antichrist will do. And he says, peace, peace. This man says peace all the time. This is, he has a fetish with peace. So he continues to say peace, peace. And it brings us to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. These are the means and ways and means of identifying who the man is, who the beast is, coming out of a people or being representative of a people. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I want to go through all of this and I don't have time. But he says, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Then it says, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. So Yeshua is going to give to them what they're giving to the world, because they're coming in the likeness of him as the Antichrist. They don't say they're the Antichrist, but they are by their actions, because Yeshua the Messiah, the son of the Most High Yah, he is the Prince of Peace. So Satan's son wants to be the Prince of Peace, prince with a low, small case P. But see, he doesn't have the character that brings about peace. And so when he says peace, he's bringing violence. He's bringing chaos and wreaking havoc and destruction and hell with him. Because it's only a figment of his imagination, but the reality of his nature cannot render peace. But as he is doing this to the world in the image and likeness of the Messiah, then the Messiah is going to return to him, because when he thinks that he is in a safe place, when he thinks that he is in peace and safety, then that's when the Messiah is going to suddenly break forth and destroy him as he has destroyed others. He write his name, he's written his name in a stone. When he, in his judgment, when America goes about this nation, or goes about this world, unilaterally, breaking all norms and laws, when she go in this world and do this, she is sealing her fate. She is telling Yah, this is how I want you to judge me. With fire. I'm executing fire. I'm giving fire to the nations, and my bombs and my ammunition and my military might. I'm bringing fire down. I'm bringing destruction. I'm bringing death, because I'm the God of this world and I have the power to do it. Then what they are telling those who hold themselves in high places that can't be touched, as they may think, all they're doing is sealing their fate that Yah do the same thing to them, render the same thing to them. So that's a twofold meaning in that scripture, you know. But yet, you know, these. So they say peace, peace, and sudden destruction everywhere they go. Everywhere these Caucasian Christian men go,
under the pretense of peace, they bring hells, death, and destruction. And wonder why I call certain of the Caucasian Christian people the children of the devil. This is why. They're murderers. They're liars. They steal. They kill and they destroy. They do evil thinking that good will come. And this is a shame, people so stupid to let these images of this government pull at their heart when they begin. They did the same thing with Iraq. How short-term memory can one have? It's only been, what, are we in 2017 now? And then George Bush went to war against Iraq, who had nothing to do with 9/11 of 2001, had nothing to do with it. But they went to the UN and they fabricated, they staged these trucks that supposedly had chemical weapons and saying that Saddam was transporting them. And then they begin to show children pulling at the strings of America, a heartless America, should I say? A heartless America? Because you don't regard our children, and I'm talking about black children. I get into that. And pull at the string, and the people love to have it so. So this government can then, once they got you emotionally invested into it, they launch their attack against the people of color and have American people feel they're doing it for a just cause, to save humanity, when in fact the Caucasian Christian man or the Caucasian Christian men as one is the world's greatest killer and terrorist in committing atrocities or atrocious crimes against humanity of people of color. So, saints, I say, I never seen nor heard of a man so spooked and paranoid from the shadow of his own image. I get so sick and tired of these liars. And it angers me when I see these evil ones appearing as the righteous. Our Lord, the Son of Yah, God warned us, and I said this earlier, he warned us, he warned the church, he warned the saints, he warned the believers. And for this, you know, we go into Matthew chapter 5, or Matthew chapter 7. He warned us. This is how we pay attention. Man, you don't pay attention by what these folks say. They're sorcerers, they're witches, they perform magic. Seeing is not believing with them. You can't believe what they say and what they present to you in their imagery when they control the narrative, when they control the media. You can't believe that. You have to go by the word of Yah. And Yeshua made it very clear to us in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Made it very clear to us, so that we don't be deceived. If he said don't be deceived and you be deceived, you are breaking the law. You are breaking the commandment. You are opposed to him and he's going to be opposed to you. I told you not to be deceived and I gave you every means for you to know and to understand. That means you didn't have no relationship with me. You weren't interested in me. You weren't interested in the truth. You weren't interested in preserving your soul. You wanted to believe the lies. That's why so many Christians are damned and believe in these lies of the holidays, you know, believe in these lies in marriage and divorce and sexual perversion. And as I said earlier, all that the enemy, all that the devil, all that the Antichrist have told you was good and was right to do, and you believe it and you do it and you act out and you begin to show the likeness of the Antichrist instead of the likeness of the Messiah. That taking his image, that is taking his likeness. It is not a picture. It's not a tattoo. It is not what you think in a figment of your imagination. I spoke this last week. I taught on this last week. When it says the image of the beast, it's saying the likeness of the beast, meaning his behavior, his conduct. What is your appearance in respect to that? Are you divorced? Are you homosexual? Are you violent? Are you the soldier that's going to war? Are you a politician? Are you these false, corrupt preachers and displaying to the world this imagery that is a strength to the world, but it goes against everything that is of Yah? So the Messiah let us know in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. He says, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Listen to this. Inwardly. And it ain't going to take long for what's in them to come out. "You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles?" You don't gather grapes out of the thorns. You don't gather figs of thistle. In other words, you can't eat something that hurts you. You can't digest something that hurts you. You digest this man's doctrine and it hurts you, hurts your soul. You believe what this man says, it works against you. It damages your character. It calls in question your integrity, your sincerity. It goes against your righteousness. It goes against holiness. It goes against godliness. When you eat of this man's doctrine, when you eat of his fruit, you can't eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge and good. That was forbidden for us. This is what this man is doing. He takes good and a sample of it, and then he surrounds it with evil, and the people eat it, and they're sickened unto death. The knowledge of good and evil. We don't eat that type of knowledge. Eat of the tree of good, of godliness, of righteousness. Eat from this word. And then it says, "Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hewn down or cut down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them." That's how I make my determination. A wolf in sheep clothing. Follow his tracks. His tracks is his fruit. I have seen nothing but American government and European government together in cooperation bring about death and destruction and the good word of peace. But I see death and destruction. I see thievery. I see lies. I see murder. I see all of this in order that they may thrive as a society and as a people. You know, Yeshua warned us about it. Then Paul warned us as well. You know, Paul says in Acts chapter 20, he forewarned us. He let us know once he was going to, the last of the apostles, he's the last apostle. And once him and the other apostles go, what was to be expected? In Acts chapter 20, verse 28 to 31. Paul says, "Take heed," that means pay close attention. "Take heed, therefore," and he's speaking because Paul was the apostles of the Gentiles. We're dealing with the Gentiles now. The extension of the Roman Empire is still America is the culmination, the culmination. America is the epitome of the Roman Empire, not too far removed, if you will, from Rome, but from Europe. Europe is in a close second with America, but they are one and the same of the same spirit, the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire was a European country. The spirit of it is the same. He said, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which has purchased, which he has purchased with his own blood." And this is why pastors and preachers, they're going to be held accountable and responsible, because you got all these churches and you have all these members and you have this word, and yet people are in worse shape with more preachers and more churches and more access to teachings, and yet they're in a more degraded state than ever before in humanity. The men of Yah are responsible. Because you associate yourself with the political system, the religious and the political system is one and the same, and the same corruptness. This is why your congressmen and your senators and your presidents, every president that sat in that seat of Satan, called himself a Christian. And he was given a right hand of fellowship by religious leaders. that had a political interest or self-interest for themselves, and they enable the political figures to justify themselves and to even absolve their conscience that they're not doing wickedness and evil, because the leaders give them the right hand of fellowship and approve of their actions, and then the people suffer. The people are being led to destruction. And Paul warned them against that, so they're going to get the same punishment, or probably even more severe than the followers and then those that didn't know better, or even more so than the politicians. And I want to stick on the politicians, but I have to keep in mind these politicians are Christians. So they're false prophets, because a lot of them are quick to bring up scriptures that have reference to the Holy Bible, the Holy Scripture. They don't reference the Quran. They don't reference the teaching of Buddha. They don't reference any of that. They reference the Bible, and then we'll go into how they reference their constitution as well. We'll get into that. But Paul says, he says, to feed the church of God. Then he says, for I know this. This is verse 29, Acts chapter 20. I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. They're going to destroy the flock. They're going to destroy the followers, and they don't care. And then it said, also of yourselves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples or followers after them, to have followers after them. But he tells us, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. So he says to watch. That is still continue. That is still to be continued in our day. And then the warnings that he had given the church for those 3 years back in that time is the same warning today that we can pay attention to. He tells us to do this, to watch and to pay attention. Because this beast, as we know in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, chapter 11, verse 13 and 15, we know about this beast. In 2 Corinthians 11, 13 to 15, he said, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of the Messiah. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, you're talking about civil servants, these are servants of Satan. A minister is a servant. They're not civil servants. They're not servants unto the people. They have nothing to do with the people. The people don't even have an influence, having a sin and have a say in what these leaders do that is supposed to be serving the people. And it continues, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Therefore, it is of no great thing if his ministers, Satan ministers, also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. He said that there's no great thing. We shouldn't be amused by that. When these wicked men can do their wickedness and feel like they're doing it in honor, that they're doing it in righteousness, that they're doing it in respect to godliness, that's what the ministers of Satan does. And Yeshua even made it more clear when he says, he made mention, and this is the same type of men that we're dealing with now in Matthew chapter 23. In verse 27, he says, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Woe unto you Christians. Woe unto you senators. Woe unto you presidents. Woe unto you congressmen. Woe unto you pastors. Woe unto your false apostles. Woe unto your evangelists. Woe unto you Christians with these titles that have influence. I can say woe unto Hebrew Israelites men that call themselves priests and ones that aspire to have these titles as well, but they are lesser danger. They don't have the influence. They don't have the authority that those in the Christian religion has. They don't have that. That don't mean they're going to get by. And Yah don't announce judgment and damnation on them for even in their lower degree continuing in the same spirit. They're going to get the same judgment, but I'm speaking in reference to that being, that one that has sway over the world, that is able to deceive the whole world. So he says, continue, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so you also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity, hypocrisy and lawlessness. That's why every law that they come into agreement with other nations, they break them. You cannot trust the devil whatsoever. He would switch up the law on you in a minute to justify himself. It's nothing worse than a lawless man always want to bring about the law when he can't even execute it. He can't even be up under, let the law that he has already written do him any good. And so that's why the scripture says in in Psalms 94:20, shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with you, which frame mischief by a law, you frame evil by Yah? Do you think that you're going to be able to sit with Yah? Do you think that you can be on par? You think you're God, but do you really think that you are the God as the God, the Most High God? You are foolish. You are wicked and evil. Can't associate yourself with the true and living Most High God. Judgment comes to you. You're not going to judge the Most High God. There's an authority above you. There's no authority above the Most High. That's why he's the Most High. So we were warned about the Christians to come. That's basically what Paul, what Yeshua let us know. We warned about the Christians to come. We weren't warned of the Muslims, the Buddhists, the Hindus, the atheists as our greatest threat. We weren't warned about them as our greatest threat. Those religions combined are the lesser of the two evils in comparison to Christianity. Our main threat was and still is the imposter, the one that come in likeness and in the name of Yeshua the Messiah, in likeness only to deceive the people, but not in likeness of the behavior, the humility, the peace, the sweetness, the love, the obedience unto the Father. They don't come in that. It is a costume. His likeness is a costume. You got to look under the costume. The one coming in the name and in the false appearance of the Lord and Savior. No other religion named our Lord and Savior as such to them. Muslims ain't saying Jesus is their Lord or Yeshua is their Lord. Hindus and Buddhists not saying that. They're not saying that he's the Son of God. As the Holy Scriptures say, they're not saying that. Matter of fact, they denounce him as being the son of Yah. But not the Christians. Christian is a Gentile terminology, and therefore it has the Gentile's character. And we went over the Gentile's character. We're seeing a Gentile character play out. So these religious Christian politicians, they preach another gospel, and they are cursed for doing so. Matter of fact, it is a generational curse, saints, because their forefather preached the same lying gospel and formed a constitution out of it. This is what I'm getting to when I say they use a bit of the scriptures, just a bit to deceive their Christian base, so that, for lack of a better term, their religious base. But then their secular base has more weight, is more influenced, such that it even persuades their religious base that they will esteem and hold up the Constitution above the word of Yah. Listen to this. So, you know, they formed this constitution out of this. This is another gospel, the lying gospel. And now it's like that's all these lawless liars talk about is their constipation. I say constipation, but I mean their constitution, which has nothing more. Man, you know what? It's nothing more than used toilet paper. I mean it. I mean it. The constitution is nothing more than used toilet paper. You know, in Galatians chapter 1. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 7. Because we speak about another gospel. And it says, which is not another. Well, verse 6. He said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of the Messiah unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of the Messiah. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which have been preached unto you, let him be accursed. And as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of the Messiah. This is why I said they're cursed, because they got another gospel. It is their constitution. Yet they esteem this constitution, this mess, above our God-given Holy Scriptures. The God-given Holy Scriptures, they esteem their own words in this constitution above that. Their constitution is satanic simply because it came from the sons of Satan, the devil's children. All this American nationalism mess this nation adores and idolizes, the flag, the Pledge of Allegiance, the national anthem, all that is from the devil. And we have to keep in mind the spirit of prophecy that was put on the devil's children through the lineage of Esau and his descendants. You go to Genesis chapter 27, verse 40. We go there to make the connection. This is how we know the fruit. This is how we know the tracks of the devil, by staying in the word, saints, and not being deceived and paying close attention, taking heed, so we don't be deceived. These folks don't have no business bombing a sovereign nation, even according to their own law, let alone if they were Christians according to the biblical principle. Yeshua changed the whole world, and he didn't draw a sword. He didn't commit violence, and he did it in peace, in love. That is of his nature, and the apostles continued in it, and the disciples and all them that were of the truth continued in it till we had the world had been changed, and now Satan come and want to change the world back to its original form of sin, or the body of Yeshua, the saints, he want to bring them, birth them back into the world of sin. But in Genesis chapter 27, verse 40, listen to Esau. This is how he has to live. And by that sword, so this is Jacob speaking, and he says to Esau, this is Isaac speaking, and he said to his son Esau, and by thy sword shall you live and shall serve your brother. And it shall come to pass when you shall have the dominion that you shall break his yoke from off your neck. By the sword, by violence. He'll live by violence. He's going to thrive and live not by thrive by violence and not by peace. Concerning peace, he is the Antichrist. So I say this in my closing for my live streamers. Till next time, may the Lord continue to richly bless us in his love, mercy, and grace. I say this. The Antichrist come in the name of peace, the son of Yah. The Prince of Peace. But he leaves a trail of violence and destruction, hell and death, because he is an imposter. He is Satan's love child. So this 21st century doctrine of doing evil that good may come introduced to the world by George Bush has wreaked havoc. It has caused world chaos and instability in order that out of this can rule a new world order. Out of this can rule a new world order. That's what they want. This psychopath of a man is a man that is representative, as I say, of the Western people, the Western European, American, Caucasian people. And the people is obsessed with defying nature, so he acts out of his nature, sort of like the arsonist and the fireman syndrome. That's what I call it. He loved going around starting fires, but then he also liked to role play as a hero, so he then turns around and returns to the fire as a fireman. Then he wants to be honored and glorified as God while having done evil for good. When he put out the fire, then he wants to be glorified as God by putting out that fire. America wants to be glorified in going into these nations and setting up these organizations and these nonprofits to try to recreate what they destroyed, and they can never recreate what they destroyed. And points to make, I'm going to say this in closing. You know, just think about this, you know. But America act under the pretense that she is threatened. You know, this is very important for us to get this. She acts under the pretense that she is threatened, yet it is America meddling in every nation political and social affairs. America is directly and indirectly supporting violence, lawlessness, seditions, and all else in every nation, primarily amongst nations and peoples of color, under the pretext of democracy, freedom, and justice. This is what America's doing, but yet she is scared of what her the shadow of the very evil image that she portrays around the world. She's afraid of her own shadow coming on her own shores. And not only that, but the troublemakers and the instigators that are itching for war, such as Fox News and such as these so-called Senator McCain and Lindsey Graham and all these other war hawks and all these men, they're itching for war, and they're cowards that have bunkers and they have shelters to hide them from the threat that the general population has to be exposed to. These politicians, these media folks, the ones with money, will be the first to run and hide in fear of a bomb if it does come upon America. Because these tough-talking clowns are deceived and blinded in their own pride when truly they have no backbone whatsoever. They talk tough. They want to go to war, but they're going to be the first one to run in their underground bunkers, be the first one to be in shelters and put their families in shelters to save themselves and save their own skin, save their families while everybody else is victimized. And I have to close on this. I say, what if the UN, Russia, China, under the pretext of human rights, held the American government responsible and then sanctioned and bombed America because of what the KKK, the skinheads, and these blatant racist groups did in the violence against black people, or because the police shot and killed in cold blood unarmed black men, or even because of Crips, for that matter, we can, you know, I make mention of the police, but we can even go and say, being fair and just, we can say, or even because of Crips and Bloods, violence against their own community or against the drug dealers. What if those nations sanction and bomb America? Quite honestly, Russia, China, Iraq, Syria, Libya, the UN, and whoever else has been accused and sanctioned or victimized by America and Europe under pretense of crimes against humanity, quite honestly, they would be more justified to bomb America as a nation that harbors terrorists and sponsors terrorism against her own people, not so much her own people as in her own race, but her own people as the citizens in this country. Because you see, that's the problem. The American establishment don't see black people as Americans. Or should I say, the best way to say it. See, that's the problem. The American establishment don't see black Americans as being of her own people by way of American citizenship. Their defiant psyche is such that they feel superior in their white supremacy against their own citizens. And we can't be considered Americans being all as one people. We can't not. We cannot be considered Americans being all as one people. Racism is too deep in the heart of Christian Caucasian people that despise and degrade black people as inferior and less than animals, or less than the animals that they so love. These folks love animals, and they consider us less than the animals because they don't show us no love. So we can't be considered as Americans as one people for this reason. But we most certainly are Americans as being of one citizenship. The nation of this world have more proof. The nations of this world have more proof, facts, and evidence to convict and punish America for gross crimes and atrocities against her fellow Americans than America has against the nations that she accuses. She accuses others as guilty until proven innocent, but her doctrine is to prove is being innocent until proven guilty. So she don't even know that Syria, the government, is really truly responsible for the gas attack. But she launched it. It was a pretext for her to do the wickedness in her heart, because her doctrine is still continued, even in President Trump, doing evil that good may come. Brothers and sisters, until next time, may the Lord continue to richly bless us in his love, mercy, and grace until salvation above all else. Take care, loved ones.